Today's daf is daf hey. And we will be starting from Tani Rav Chiya on Daled Amud Beis. After having gone through on the previous daf, the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, as to the exact makeup of the Arba Avos Nezikin stated in the Mishnah, the Gemara then cited the Brisa of Rav Oshia that had different criteria for a list of Avos Nezikin, a different criteria than the Mishnah. His total, the total in the Brisa of Rav Oshia was 13, made up of the four of the Mishnah, as well as the Dalid Shomrim, otherwise known as Shomer Chinam, Shoel, Nose Sachar, and Socher, and also that of the five Nezikin payments of Chavalah, namely Nezek, Tsar, Ripoy, Sheves, Uboshes, adding up to 9 plus 4 equals the grand total of Rav Oshia's Brisa list of 13. The Gemara then spelled out the criteria for both the count of the Mishnah vis-a-vis, in contrast to that of Rav Oshia. It went through, okay, what Rav Oshia counted in his list as opposed to the Mishnah, and what about Rav Oshia's Avos Nezikin, the Mishnah did not want to go ahead and count in its list. Now the Gemara will go on to a Braisa of Rav Chiya, where Rav Chiya's Braisa has the most exhaustive list of 24 Avos Nezikin, and for the next Amud, the Gemara will determine the criteria of Rav Chiya in contrast to Rav Oshia. So here, Tani Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya taught the following Braisa, Esrim v'arba Avos Nezikin. There are 24 Avos Nezikin. And now he lists them off. One, Tashlume Kefel. So right away he, interestingly, counts as one of his Avos Nezikin, a Knas. A Knas is not an ordinary Mammon payment. A Knas is a payment above and beyond the normal compensation for any damage or stealing. Here, Tashlume Kefel is the double payment, the extra double payment, second payment that one pays for Gneva. Gneva, for example, if you steal something, you have to pay, let's say the item is no longer around, you compensate for the loss of the item that you went ahead and stole. But if you're caught, Bezdin goes ahead and paskins on you what is known as Kefel. So you pay double. Number two, Tashlume Arba V'Chamisha, the second of the Avos Nezikin Rav Chiya's list, is the payment of what's called Dalad Vehei, Arba V'Chamisha. The same way we said that there's a Knas of Kefel for Gneva, if someone goes ahead and does Gneva, he steals a Behema, either a sheep or a, let's say, a cow, and he either shechts it or sells it, he pays four times the amount for a sheep and five times the amount for a cow. And that's, once again, if he steals and he is caught before he admits and Bezdin goes ahead and paskins up on him that he stole, shechted, or sold the animal that he stole, he will pay this knas of four and five times the amount. So Rav Chiya obviously adds to the type of Nezikin payments the knas payments as well, which is not purely compensatory because you're paying above and beyond that which you would have to pay just to compensate for the item. Then there is three, the Ganav. Ganav, as you know, is stealing in a secretive, non-confrontational manner, and one has to pay for that. And that he counts as number three on his list of Avos Nezikin. One has to pay for that. If he steals, let's say the item is no longer around, he must pay. Same thing for number four, for the Gazlan, right? If someone robs, in different than Gneva, Gazela is where he robs someone in an open confrontational fashion, puts a gun to his head. Once again, if it's a Gazela, a Gazlan, that is number four on the list. If the item is no longer around, he has to pay. That is the damager, the Avos Nezikin of Gazlan. Obviously, these are not damages in the classic sense. In fact, later on we'll see, okay, what the basis for Rav Chiya. We'll see this on the next daf, on Daf Hayam and Aleph, what the basis of this criteria here is, because it's not like damaging where you go ahead and do physical damage to the object. Gneva and Gzela is you take it from him and then it's lost. Something happens to it, and the payment is not for a physical damage that he, the God of the Gazan, did to the object, but he basically did an act that ultimately resulted in loss of the item, and that is part of Rav Chiya's list of Avos Nezikin. Five, the Eidim Zoyimin. What is Eidim Zoyimin? As you probably know from Makis, these are false witnesses that other Eidim testified that these false witnesses were not at the place at the time that they say they were. when they saw Reuven, let's say, become chayiv money to Shimon. So the halacha is that Einim Zoyimim have to pay the amount that they were mechayiv Reuven to pay in their false testimony. So that's also a mazik payment that the Einim Zoyimim have. Veha ones. Ones is, if you don't know, but now you will know, this is number six. Ones, someone who rapes a nara besula and is chayiv, he's chayiv to pay a special knas of 50 shkolim of silver to her father. This is what he's chayiv to pay for the rape. This is a knas, and we'll discuss this more on Hey Amud Aleph. Beside the different compensatory payments of pagam, which is the nezek caused, as well as any tsar or boshet, any pain or embarrassment that goes along with the rape. So ones is another category of avos nezikin 6-7 hamafate. Similar to rape, this is where he seduces a young girl, nara besula, and again he's chayiv a special knas of 50 shekel to her father. Again, besides the different compensatory payments that might exist. That's number 7, Hamafate. 8, Umotzi Shemra. In the old days, a man would first, as you know, do Erusin a year before the Nisuin. If a man did Erusin with a Nara Besula, and then after the Erusin, which, as you know, Erusin is Kiddushin, it's already halachically married, but then afterwards is Nisuin. And after Nisuin, this husband hired Eidim Zoyimim to support a false claim. His wife, this one that he just had Nisuin with, had Znus after the Erusin, before the Nisuin, making her an Eishes Isha Zinsa, which would make her Chayav Misa. But these Eidim Zoyimim are found to be Eidim Zoyimim. He lied. So after being caught as a liar, Eidim Zoyimim obviously are put to death, but the one who is Motzi Shemra must pay a knas of 100 shekels to her father. That's 8, Motzi Shemra. And that's another knas payment that Rabbi Chiya counts as one of the Avos Nezikin. 9, Vehametame. This is someone who makes the Truma of a Kohen Tame, thereby causing the Kohen a loss, as the Truma can no longer be eaten. So once again, he would need to compensate the Kohen for the loss, and this is number 9, Metame, number 9 in the list of Avos Nezikin of Rabbi Chiya. 10, Vehametamea, otherwise known as Dimua, where someone goes ahead and mixes truma into a non-Kohen's ordinary chulin produce. So if someone goes ahead and mixes truma into chulin, into non-truma, causing the person who owns this chulin, this regular produce, a loss. Why? Because now he can't eat it because it's truma mixed in. And now have to sell it to a Kohen at a lower price. So this needs to be compensated. Thus, number 10. All right, Amidamea is number 10 on Rabbi Chiya's list of Avos Nezikin. And finally, we have Havanasech, which is if someone picks up someone else's wine and pours it as a nesach, a libation, to a avodah zarah. So, as you know, that renders the wine aser bahana, worthless. The person cannot benefit at all. So, the one who makes the yayin of someone else, a yayin nesach, would need to compensate. And this is number 11 on the Avos Nezikin list of Rabbi Chiya. These are the 11 of Rabbi Chiya. And then it says, Vahani Plesar. 12 through 24 is the 13 of Rabbi Oshia, which you remember included 9 of Rav Oshia's plus 4 of the Mishnah. So Rav Oshia had 13. 13 plus 11 of Rabbi Chiya that we just listed equals 24. Ha Esrim V'Arba. Here it gives us 24 Avos Nezikin of Rabbi Chiya. If you go to yesterday we sent a list. So now you can look at the three different lists and contrast them that I sent in the smooth sheet attachment that I sent to you yesterday. So now the Gemara is going to do what it did yesterday with Rav Oshia to try to go ahead and contrast the list of Rav Oshia to the list of the Mishnah, what Rav Oshia had and added to his list as opposed to the Mishnah that didn't add those of Rav Oshia's. So now the Gemara is going to ask, Rav Oshia, my time alo tani hani. The Gemara is going to ask, why did Rav Oshia list those of Rav Chiya? And now the Gemara, the next Amma, is going to go and try to show why Rav Oshia did not count Rav Chiya's. Okay, so the first thing Gemara says, Bimamona kamairi, biknasa lo kamairi. So the first thing the Gemara says is that according to Rav Oshia, Rav Oshia's list did not include knas, only regular compensatory payments, not payment fines above and beyond Torah fines. Fines are things above and beyond something that is not a regular compensation for the damage done, but above and beyond and the normal compensatory payment, and that was not listed in Rav Oshia's. Rav Chiya listed Knas, and Rav Oshia not. And therefore, the first two, Tashlumei Kefel, number one, and number two, Tashlumei Arba V'Chamisha, which were Knas payments, Rav Oshia left out. So now the Gemara asks, okay, but let's go to numbers three and four, which was Ganav and Gazlin. The Gemara says, Ganav and Gazlin, de Mamonahu, that's a regular compensatory payment, that's not Knas. So listen, so why didn't Rav Oshia list Ganav and Gazlin? So he says, Haktani Le Shomer Chinam V'Hashoel. He says something interesting. He says, Rav Oshia did not list Ganav and Gazlin because, as you remember, in Rav Oshia's list, what also did he have? He had a Dalet Shomrim, Shomer Chinam V'Hashoel. He's not really referring here to Shoel, he means here Shomer Chinam. Because in a Shomer Chinam, there's the following halacha. The halacha is that by a Shomer Chinam, if he does what's called Toein Tainas Ganav, where the Shomer Chinam claims that the item was stolen, or if he's Toein Tainas Gazlin, if he claims that the item was robbed from him, so these claims, for example, Toein Tainas Ganav, a Shomer Chinam who claims that the item was stolen and he really pocketed it, has a din of a Gazlin. A din of a Ganav if he says that it was stolen, if it was the Gneva, and he has a din of a Gazlin if he says it was robbed from him. And that's why, for example, a Shomer Chinam that claims that it was stolen Gneva would have to not only pay if he pocketed it, he'd have to pay Kefel if he was caught. So therefore, included in Shomer Chinam, Rav Oshia says, is Gneva and Gzela, because there is the payment of Gneva and Gzela included in Shomer Chinam. If the Shomer Chinam claims that the item was stolen or robbed from him, someone ganaved it from him or gazled it from him, so he will have the din of a Ganav and a Gazlin, and therefore no need for Rav Oshia to put in his list Ganav and Gazlin like Rav Chiya, because it's included in the Shomer Chinam, right, which was one of those listed in Rav Oshia's list. So we went through the first four, why Rav Oshia did not have the first four of Rav Chiya. But then the Gemara asks, Rav Chiya namiha tanalei Shomer Chinam v'ashoel. So I understand. But you said the reason why Rav Oshia did not have Ganav and Gazlin is because that's included in Shomer Chinam. But Rav Chiya, we said, includes all 13 of Rav Oshia. So that means he also lists Shomer Chinam v'Ashoel, etc. So why does he list separately Ganav and Gazlin? I thought we just said that Rav Oshia didn't list separately Ganav and Gazlin because it was included in Shomer Chinam. So the Gemara says, no. Tani Mamona, according to Rav Chiya, he makes the split. Rav Oshia obviously does not make this split. Rav Chiya splits and distinguishes. Tani Mamona da'asi liyadei be'etera. According to Rav Chiya, he lists separately, in separate categories, any mamona, any chi of mamon that you have where the item came to you beheter, such as Shomer Chinam. In Shomer Chinam, the item came to the possession of the Shomer Chinam initially beheter. And he might have lied afterwards to Shomer Chinam that it was stolen, but he came into possession of the item, the Shomer Chinam, beheter. It was mutter for him to have it in the first place. So that's one type that Rav Chiya lists. And therefore, he feels the need to also ukatani mamona de asilat beisura. He also discusses those chiyuve mamon as a separate. He also lists separately the chiyuve mamon, the avos nezikin, where the person came into possession. The mazik came into possession. The avos nezikin here is where the person came into possession of the item beisur, namely Ganav and Gazlin. So therefore, Rav Chiya lists separately Ganav and Gazlin from Shomer Chinam. So then the Gemara goes on, we're moving on to Hamad Aleph, Edim Zayimin, De Mamonahu, Lisni. But Edim Zayimin, that's also a compensatory payment that the Edim Zayimin are paying for being the Chayiv Ruvain falsely money. So let him go ahead. Who? Let Rav Oshia go ahead and list it, because it's not seemingly something that Rav Oshia should exclude. So why doesn't he include Edim Zayimin? So Savalak Rabbi Akiva, comes the Gemara. If you guys learn Makis, you know there's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. To Amar, what did Rabbi Akiva say? Ein Mishalman al Piyatzman. An Edim Zoyimim payment is not paid al Piyatzman. What does that mean? It means if a person admits to being an Eid Zoyimim, he doesn't pay. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva holds that Edim Zoyimim is not a Chi of Mammon. According to Rabbi Akiva, Edim Zoyimim is a Chi of Knas. And as we said before, only regular Chi Uve Mammon, compensatory payments, are paid, are categorized and listed as the Avos Nezikin in Rav Oshia's list, and therefore, since it's a Knas, Rav Oshia does not have Edim Zoyimim as one of his Avos Nezikin. Rav Chiya, who does list the Knas, the Knasos, has it in his list. So the Gemara says, oh, not so fast. Because if you're going to claim that Rav Oshia is going to Rabbi Akiva in his list, then the Gemara says, listen, trei gavni shor, then you know what Rav Oshia should be doing? He should have two different categories, two types of shor in his count. Listen, shor da azik shor, let him go ahead and teach in his list a case of a shor that was mazik a shor. And the listening, and let him also list in his list of Avos Hazikin a shor that da azik adam, a shor that damages a person. Now, if you remember, we saw yesterday how, unlike the Mishnah's listing, Rav Oshia had included two types of Adam HaMazik. Adam that was Mazik in Adam, and Adam that was Mazik Ashur, right? Adam the Azik Adam, Adam the Azik Shur. The Gemara had pointed out that no such split was made with Ashur, because by Adam there's a difference in Din, in that Adam that is Mazik in Adam, otherwise known as Chavala, needs to pay the additional four payments of Boshes, Sar, Sheves, or Ripoy. However, by Shor, a Shor, whether it damages an Adam, or a Shor, or if it damages a Shor, there's no difference. He just pays for the Nezek. So it's only one category. Right? An Adam that is Mazik, an Adam pays more payments than an Adam that's Mazik a Shor. So that's why Rav Oshia splits off Adam to Azik Adam and Adam to Azik Shor, but doesn't split off Shor to Azik Adam and Shor to Azik Shor. But now the Gemara says that if Rav Oshia is going with Rabbi Akiva, then he should list two categories of shor. Of a shor being mazik a shor, and a shor being mazik an adam. Why? Because of the following mission that the Gemara is going to now quote, where it discusses a case where a person, an adam, is mazik a shor, and that shor is also mazik the adam. And now let's go to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah there, the Mishnah being quoted. He says, "Itnan, Rabbi Akiva Omer, af tam shechaval ba'adam, Mishalim b'moisar nezek shalem." As we just said, the case is where a shor tam goes ahead and gores a person, and that person also damages the shor. So Rabbi Kiva, unlike the Tanakam, unlike the Chacham, holds that a shor that is mazik in adam, if he's a shor tam, he pays nezek shalem, not chatzi nezek. Unlike a shor tam that gores a shor, it only pays chatzi nezek. A shor that gores a person pays nezek shalem. So therefore, what does a person pay? He pays the mosar. He pays the difference between the damage that the shor did to the person, the difference between the amount of damage caused by the shor to the person, then the adam's damage to the shor. Again, remember, the shor damaged the person, and the person damaged the shor. So if the shor's damaging of the person is more than the damage caused by from the person to the shore, so you take, let's say, the damage to the shore was 150, and the shore's damage to the person was 100, so he'd pay 50. The owner of the shore would pay 50 because he's paying nezek shalem, as opposed to the chachamim would say the opposite. The owner of the shore is not going to pay 50. Rather, according to the chachamim, what's the payment of the tam that gores an adam? If he caused 150 damage, only 75. So it would be the other way around. The person would have to pay the owner of the shor 25. But what do you see? At the end of the day, you see that Rabbi Akiva holds that, unlike a shor that tam that's mazik a shor, where you pay only chatzi nezek, when a shor is mazik an adam, you pay nezek shalem. That's different than the Chacham, who say in both cases, he pays only chatzi nezek, the shor tam, whether he gores a person or whether he gores a shor. So now, the Gemara says, if we have two different categories of a shor da'azik shor and a shor da'azik adam, the same way there were two categories of adam da'azik adam and adam da'azik shor, so Rav Oshia, who's going to Rabbi Akiva, should list both shor da'azik shor, which is chatzi nezek, and shor da'azik adam, which is nezek shalem. So the Gemara says, no, not so fast. Hatavre Rabbi Akiva ligzize. Literally, this means Rabbi Akiva broke his fist, but that's not what it means. It means that Rabbi Akiva, this is understood as explained by Tosfos, Rashi doesn't spell it out that well, okay, that Rabbi Akiva limited his ruling. Although Rabbi Akiva held it ashore, the Azik Adam goes ahead and pays Nezek Shalem, he still limits the ruling, because as you know, when a person pays chatzi nezek, a shor that was mazik a shor, when he pays chatzi nezek, he only pays, he doesn't pay min ha'aliyah. He doesn't pay from meitav nezek shalem. But rather he only pays, when you pay chati nezek, you only pay up to the amount, the mazik only pays up to the amount that his mazik behema costs. So if the chati nezek is more than the damaging behema, he would only pay up to the amount that the damaging behema was worth. So here comes Rabbi Akiva and he limits his ruling. Tam Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Yachol af tam shechaval ba'adam. You might have thought that even a tam that goes ahead and damages a person, gores a person, he would be yishali min aliyah. Why would you think that he'd have to pay min aliyah, he'd have to pay the full meitav, the full nezek shalem from meitav? Why would you think that? Because Rabbi Akiva holds that you have to pay nezek shalem. So you would think that you'd have to pay nezek shalem from the aliyah, from meitav, and totally always pay the nezek shalem. Talmud Leimar, Yaselo. The Pasuk says, Yaselo, you do to him, kimishpata, namely, like the mishpat of a tam, with respect to what? You don't pay chati nezek, you pay nezek shalem, according to Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Akiva holds, even though you pay nezek shalem, when a person pays nezek shalem, when his short tam gores a person, still, mikufo mishalem, ve'eno mishalem, min aliyah. Still, the maximum that one would have to pay, even if it's nezek shalem, even if the payment is nezek shalem, is up to the worth of the behema, the mazik behema. Ve'eno mishalem min aliyah, and you would not always have to pay nezek shalem, because the only time you have to pay nezek shalem, according to Rekiva, is if the mazik behema was at least as much as the nezek shalem that was caused. But if the behema's worth is less than the nezek shalem, he'd only pay up to the amount of the behema. So in that sense, even Rabbi Akiva's shor that was mazik and adam is not totally different than the chiyuv of a short tam, because you pay me gufo, even though it's nezek shalem, and therefore it was not worthy of a separate category according to Rabbi Oshia, even though he holds like Rabbi Akiva, shor da azik adam, and shor, a shor that was mazik and adam, and a shor that was mazik ashor, is still in the same basic category, not worthy of a separate category. Now the Gemara goes on. Ha'ones v'amefate v'amoti shemra. So this was number 6, 7, and 8 on the list. So as you all know, all right, those are seemingly payments of knas and mamon. They have both. At least the first two, ones v'amefate, are chiyuve knas and chiyuve mamon. Moti shemra is pure knas. But the Gemara asks as follows. Let's go. So let's go. Ha'ones v'amafata v'amotzi shemra. D'mamonahu. Listen. These are all chiyuvei mamon. There's chiyuvei mamon here. Remember we said that at least in ones v'amafata, not in motzi shemra, there are compensatory payments. So let it be listed. So he says, I don't understand. Manashach. Either way, you're going to be in trouble. If you're talking, im nezek, if you're talking about the damage that was done to the woman in the rape, tanalei. Rav Oshi already has in his list nezek. Go to his list. Go to look at the page that I gave you out. You'll see that Rav Oshia has nezek in his list. Eat tsar. You're talking about the tsar that he caused the woman in the rape. Also tanalei. Look at the list. Rav Oshia included tsar. Eat boshes. You're talking about the embarrassment. Tanalei. Rav Oshia already has that in his list. Eat pegam. If you're talking about the pegam, right? Hanu nezek. Pegam is the other term, is the term used for the damage done to the woman in the rape. So that's nezek. And nezek, as we said, was already listed in Rav Oshia's list. So ma yislecha lameim. What are you going to say then? You're talking about the knasa of ones v'amefate, and even the knasa of motzi shemra, the knasa lo kamayri. We already said Rav Oshia, unlike Rav Chia, does not include knas payments in his list. So we're doing great here. Now we finally get to the last three of Rav Chia, and I'm going to explain why Rav Oshia does not have that in his list. So the Gemara goes on, and it says, Hametame v'hamadameya v'manaseich. If you make someone's truma tamei, or you mix some truma into someone's chulin, or you make someone's yayin into yayin nesach, this is all mamonahu, this is all regular damage, and it's a regular chiyuv mamon that you have to compensate. So listen, let Rav Oshia list these avos nezikin. So Gemara says, manavshach, once again. Either way, we can understand why Rav Oshia does not have this. Now, in order to explain this, we have to explain the following. There's something called, before we go on to Gemara, there's something called Hezek She'eno Nikker. Hezek She'eno Nikker is literally means non-recognizable damage. But what this means is that this type of damage where you go ahead, let's say, you go ahead and you stick a knife into an animal and you destroy the animal, or you cut off the leg of an animal, so you break someone's kli, So that's physical damage done to the item that recognizable. Something that's actually physically, you could see the physical damage that was done to the item. But then there's damage in which the item nothing happened physically to the item, but the most common example is you did something halachically to it that made it either worthless or not worth as much. So, for example, a person goes ahead and makes someone's chuma tameh. You can't see the damage done. There's no damage done physically, but halachically, the chuma cannot be eaten if it's tameh. So it becomes halachically, okay, off limits to the kohen because it's tameh to anyone. Same thing with damea, right? Physically, you can't see anything happening when chuma is mixed with tvuah, or same thing with yayin esach. So this is what's called hezek sheino nikar. This damage that was done, but it's not something that's recognizable, it's something physical that happened to the item itself. So now the Gemara says, you want to know why Rav Oshi did not list Metame, Medameya, and Menasech in his list? Manashach. Either way, I can show you. E Hezek She'eno Nikar, Shmein Hezek. If you want to say that Hezek, it's not Nikar, meaning if all there is this halachic status where you can't, done to the item of making it Tame, making it Yayin Esech, making it Dimua, you want to say that such hezek that's not nikar is considered hezek, even though it's not something physical to the eye that you can see. So if you're saying it's the equivalent of a regular hezek, then hatana lay nezek. Although she already included nezek, so why should he include this? E hezek she'eno nikar lo shmei hezek. And if you're of the opinion, which is the machlokes all over Shas, and if you hold that hezek she'eno nikar, even though it causes loss to the person, but it's not considered a halachic damage because nothing actually happened to the item, so you want to say that's not hezek, and minat Torah, you don't have to pay for such damage. So, havalei knasa. Then the payment, which would only be a payment to Rabbanan, because you're not chayev minat Torah, so it would be the equivalent of a knas. What does that mean? Because it's not really knas, but it means that since me the Rabbanan, it is like a knas, in that it's a knas like chiyuv, in that the chiyuv mamon is a penalty to dissuade people from damaging in a way that they will have no chiyuv to compensate minat Torah. In other words, when the Rabbanan go ahead and make him chayiv, even though he's not really chayiv minat Torah, in a certain sense it's not really compensation, it's not really mamon, it's like a knas. Any chiyuv of the chachamim to pay is like a knas, even though it's not a knas in a purely halachic sense where we say modiv b'knas potter. But it's the equivalent of knas, and therefore, so mimanavshach. If we say hezek shenah nikar shmei hezek, so then that's included as nezek in the list of aroshia. And if you say it's lashmei hezek, then that chiyuv, which is the rabbanan, would be the equivalent of knas. Uve knas alokamayri, and Rav Oshi does not list knas. So the Gemara says, okay, but what about Rabbi Chiya? Leima kasav Rabbi Chiya. This would then mean, based on this logic, that Rabbi Chiya must hold hezek shenah nikar lo shmei hezek. It seems to be that Rabbi Chiya would have to hold that hezek shenah nikar lo shmei hezek. Because if he's listing it, Rav Chiya is listing it, so then if hezek shenah nikar shmei hezek, then that's nezek, which is a separate category that he already has, would be unnecessary. But if hezek shenah nikar lo shmei hezek, then we can make sense of Rav Chiya having it in the list. Why? Because it's a knas, and unlike Rav Oshia, Rav Chiya does list knases in his list, and therefore it seems to be that Rav Chiya holds hezek shenah nikar is not shmei hezek, is not considered like a regular nezek. The Ishmei Hezek, because if it was, as we said, regular Hezek, if Hezek Sheino Nikar, unrecognizable, non-physical damage to the item that is considered a damage just by the fact that you caused the loss by, let's say, making a Tameh, if you hold it, that's Hezek, then Hatanalei Nezek. Rav Chiya already had Nezek in his list. So the Gemara says, no, Tana Hezekah de Minkara, but Tana Hezekah de Lo Minkara. So Rabbi Chiya says, listen, I could have, the Gemara says, Rav Chiya could have in his list these cases of metame, medameya, menasech, even though these are what's called hezek she'eno nikar, hezek that you don't recognize, but it is a hezek, he could list it even though it's hezek. You know why? Because maybe he distinguishes. He says he feels the need to distinguish between two categories. Tana, he teaches in his list, in his braisa, hezek edemikar, a hezek that's recognized, where there's actual physical damage. But Tana, hezek lo minkar, and also damages that's not recognizable, is also listed as a separate category, because even though he holds it hezek, it's still worthy of a separate category because it's not actual physical damage. It's like halachic damage, okay? Which halachic non-recognizable damage that causes a loss is worthy of a separate category according to Rabbi Chiya, obviously not according to Rav Oshia. And now the Gemara has finished, okay, the distinctions between Rav Oshia and Rav Chiya, and now the Gemara asks, Bishlam alatana didan. The Gemara asks, I understand according to our Mishnah, Tana Minyana, you know what our Mishnah states and teaches a number and says, Arba avasazikin? Lemuude Rav Oshia. It's coming to exclude the count of Rav Oshia. 4 and not 13 of Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia, Tana Minyana, Rav Oshia teaches the list of 13, states 13. Why does he say 13? Lemuude Rav Chiya. He says there are 13 avos nezikin to go ahead and exclude Rabbi Chiya's count of 24. Ela Minyana de Rabbi Chiya, but the count and list, the number 24 of Rav Chiya. Why is he saying 24? Lemuute Mai, to exclude what? Just give us the list. What does he have to say there are 24 as opposed to what? As opposed to what else could be there? He seems to give such an exhaustive list. So Gemara says, no, Lemuute Moser Ufagel. What's Moser? Moser is where a person goes ahead and rats on someone to the Goyish government, to the Goyim, and causes a financial loss to someone by ratting him out. Let's say ratting out to the government that he has some property, and he knows now that the government's going to go ahead and take that property from him, or whatever. Or he rats the government about something that the Goyish government now goes and has to tax him. So that's what's called a moser. And then there's what's called a mefagel. Mefagel is a person who, a Kohen, for example, goes ahead and when he shechts the behema, he shechts a chatos l'shem shlamim, making the chatos puzzle. Okay, that's what's called pigul, which is a damage. So it's coming to exclude those two damages of moser and mefagel. And that's Rabbi Chiya's list of 24. So Gemara says, v'lisni. So why doesn't he go ahead and have these two, 25 and 26? So it says, Bishlam mafagel, I understand. Why Rabbi Chiya left out mafagel? Bekachim lo kamari. He's not dealing with damages of kachim. This is a kohen damaging kachim, karbanos. So the Mishnah is not discussing the damaging of kachim, okay, karbanos. It's not discussing damages of kachim. Only non-kachim entities, items. Ella moiser. But why did he leave out Moser? Moser is not kachim, where a person goes ahead and rats someone out to the goyim and causes the person a financial loss. My time alotani. Why did Rav Chiya not list this? He says shiny Moser did dibura. He says Moser is different. You know why? Because this is damage done with dibur, with words, with going ahead and talking and telling and ratting him out to the government. Uba dibura lo kamari. The damaging done by words. Okay. Is not listed as mazikin. Only damaging done b'maisa, not b'dibur, in action and not in talking. V'hu motzi, v'ha motzi shemra, but motzi shemra, when the husband goes ahead and says that his wife was mazana, that's dibur, the diburahu, uktani, and that was listed in Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya listed motzi shemra, the knas of motzi shemra, when the husband goes ahead and brings edim zoyimim, and he says and he claims that his wife had znus. That's dibur. So why did he list it? Ukatani, he still lists it. He still teaches it in his Braisa Rav Chiya. It says dibura de isbe maisahu. This is dibura that has a maisa. In that the Baal had to, in order to be chayiv, he had to have bia with, he had to have relations with this wife in order to be chayiv the knas of Moti Shemra, and therefore there's Maisa. V'ha Edim Zoyim Dibura Deles Bei Maisahu. But Edim Zoyim is Dibur. There's no Maisa there. Edim Zoyim is listed in Rabbi Chiya's list, and that's Dibur. Edim are talking. And it's not Maisa. Uktani, and it's listed. Because Hasa Mafal Gav Deles Bei Maisa Rachmana Kari Maisa. So he says there, even though there is no Maisa, the Torah calls the Edim Zoyim Avera, it views it as the equivalent of Maisa. What does it say? Lo kasher zamam. You do to him like he plotted, like these Edim Zoman plotted. Lasos la'achiv. Lasos like asiya. So you see here that Edim Zoyimim, even though it's Dibur, it's the equivalent of Maisa, and therefore Rabbi Chiya listed Edim Zoyimim because it's viewed as Maisa and not Dibur. So then Gemara says, Bishlam alatana digdan tana avos mechlal di'ika toldos. He says, I understand according to us. So it's good, according to our Mishnah, Tana Avos Mechal Dika Taldos. Our Mishnah says the word Arba Avos, implying that there's toldos, and we know there is toldos. But El Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Oshia, but according to Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Oshia, why does he call that? Why do they call him avos? Mechlal deika toldos, implying that there's toldos. What toldos? Toldos say in my niyu. What are the toldos of Rabbi Oshia and Rabbi Chiya? What kind of toldos of Edom Zoyimim? What kind of toldos of Boshes are there? So I'm Rabbi Avo kulan ka avos v'shalimim eitav. It's called avos as comparison to the avos of the Mishnah. The same way the avos in the Mishnah, one has to pay from Meitav. If he's paying Barka, he has to pay back with the best of his land. So too in all these, in both the Rabbi Oshia's list and in Rabbi Chiya's list, they have to pay when they pay the mamon payments or the knas payments, it has to be paid. The paying with karka has to be paid with the best of the land. My taima, what's the reason for this? What's the basis for this? So Gemara says, "Us yatachas nesina yishalim kesef." And as Rashi explains, these words, the word tachas, the word nesina, the word yishalim, and the word kesef, are all found by the Avos Nezikin. And one of those words, tachas nesina yishalim kesef, is found by all 24, okay, of the Avos Nezikin of Avchia, by all 13 of the Avos Nezikin of Oshia, and therefore we learn out that Netav is the type of payment that has to be made. If one is paying from Karka, he has to pay in all these Avos Nezikin of Avchia and of Oshia from the best of his land, based on these Gzeira Shavas. Gemara continues now and going through step by step through the Mishnah. And the Mishnah had said, Lo Hare Ashor Kare Amavev, Lo Hare Amavev Kare Ashor. So the Gemara says, My Karma, what is the Mishnah is saying when it says the nature of shore is not like the nature of maveh. So Amar Rav Zvid Mishmei de Rava. Rav Zvid said in the name of Rava. Hachikama, this is what the Mishnah is saying. Lichto Rachman Achad. Let the Torah only write one of them, shore. The Titi Idach Mineu, and learn the other one, namely maveh, from shore, or vice versa. Hada Amar Chada Michada Lo Asya. So what it's saying is, Lo Harei Ashor Karei Maveh. You cannot learn one from the other. And as we, and what was the reason for this? So this was already spelled out. If you did your Chazara yet so far on Dalam and Aleph, you saw that we already had the Gemara spell out, according to both Rav and Shmuel, because they have different versions of what Shor and Mava is. So if you go back to Dalam and Aleph, you'll see how they each learned Shor, the Chumra that Shor had over Mava, and the Chumra that Mava had over Shor, that one cannot learn Shor from Mava and Mava from Shor. Ayin Sham, you should be able to know it like that, because you already Chazard, and you know it cold. Continuing on, the Gemara goes on, continuing the analysis of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that Shor and Maveh that have Ruachayim, that both have a life force, whether you go with Rav or whether you go with Shmuel. We're talking about Adam and the different Mazikim of Shor, which all have life force. So that is not like Eish, right? It doesn't have a life force. It's not Ruachayim. So Maika Amar, so what was the Mishnah saying? Amar Rav Misharshi, Mishmei de Rava, once again, Hachi Kamar. Lichto Rachman Atarti, let the Torah list both Shor and Maveh, Vetite Idach Minayim, and learn Eish from Shor and Maveh. Hada Amar, so the Mishnah is saying, Chada Metarti Loasi, that one, namely Eish, cannot be learned from both Shor and Maveh. Amar Rava, now Rava comes and says, you know what? The Kulu really, and Rashi, this very long Rashi, spells out exactly what Rava means in great detail. The Kulu Kishadis Borbanayu. Rava says, if you go through it, if you take any of the Mazikin, the Avos Nezikin, of the Mishnah, and you put it with Bor, Asi Kulu B'matzad. You can learn all the other Avos Nezikin B'matzad. So for example, if you took Keren and Bor, you can learn Eish, Regel, and Shane. If you take Bor and Shane, you can learn. If you take Bor and Shane, you can learn Eish and Regel. Okay, so Kulu Kishad is Bor Beinayu. If you take any of the Avos and you stick it together with Bor, you can learn them all from a Matzad. What's it? Asi Kulu B'Matzad. What is a Matzad? Matzad is you play off each of the two Bor and the other Av and show that. At the end of the day, they might each have a chumra that the others don't have, but it's a tzara shava. The tzara shava being that they are darchan lehazik, umamodcha, ushmiras alecha, and therefore you can learn out all the other avos. Except, the Gemara says, lebarmi keren. Except for keren, why? Why can't you learn out keren for, let's say, bor and esh? Mishum de'ika lemifrach, because let's say you had bor and esh. You can't learn to keren, why? Because you could slug up the matzad. Because there's a chumra in Keren that doesn't exist. You can't find those chumras, right? If you have Bor and Eish, You will not be able to find the Chumrah if you take Bor and Esh together, and therefore you'd be able to learn out Shein and Regel from Bor and Esh. But Keren you can't. Why? Because what's the Chumrah in Keren? Malikulu Shekein Muadal B'tchilasan. All the other Avos, let's say you had Bor and Shein, Bor and Esh, Bor and Regel, all of those are Muadin B'tchilasan. All of those are Avos Nezikin that are Darchan Lahazik from the start, as opposed to Keren, which from the start is Tam. Okay? And since at the start it's Tam, and only becomes Mu'ad, only becomes Darchan Lahazik, only becomes the way, it only starts getting the defined characteristic of Darchan Lahazik after three times that Gors, so therefore there's a Chumrah by, okay, actually not a Chumrah, I meant to say there's a Kula by Keren, and there's a Chumrah by all the other mazikin that you cannot go ahead, therefore, and learn to Keren, which has a kula in that it's first a tam, and then only later does it become darchan lahazik when it becomes a muad, as opposed to all the others, which are darchan lahazik from the start. So there's Lamda Amar, and he says, you know what? And according to the opinion that says Adaraba, that Keren really is a chumrah. Why is Keren a chumrah? Keren Adifa. Keren's even a chumrah shekavanasa lahazik because there's malicious intent. Keren is the only av that has malicious intent. So therefore it has a chumrah. Then afilu Keren ami asya. Then even Keren can be learned out from Bor and any of the other mazikin. You know why? Because if you're chayiv for Bor and Eish, kal v'chomer, you should be chayiv for what? For Keren. Because it's kavanasa lahazik. It has a chumrah. It's has malicious intent. So the Gemara then says, Ella, so at the end of the day, if you could take Bor with any other Av and learn out all the other Avos, even Keren according to one opinion, so then, Ella Lamai Hilchasa Kasvina Rachmana, at the end of the day, why did the Torah have to list out all these different Avos Nezikin? So the Gemara says, Lehilchosei, and to teach you the unique halachos of each Av, and if you go back to the chart that I sent the first day, you'll see the Gemara what we can see right now, you'll see in the chart there too. Keren, what unique halachos exist by Keren? L'chalek, he had to teach us to make a distinction between Bein Tama, the first three times, Chati Nezek, L'mu'edes, and the fourth time, which you pay Nezek Sholem. Shein V'regel, what's the distinction? L'potron B'rishus HaRabim, to teach us that Shein V'regel, it had it listed specifically and separately as an Av Nezikin to teach us that a Shein V'regel, Yepotin B'rishus HaRabim. Bor, what was the unique halacha by Bor to teach us? Liftor Boaz HaKelim, that Bor, if a utensil gets damaged in Bor, one does not have to pay. Only an animal or a person who gets damaged. Rabbi Yehuda de Mechayiv al Niske Kelim Bibor. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, who happens to hold that if a kli falls in a Bor, a person is chayiv to pay, the Baal HaBor, the owner of the Bor, is chayiv to pay for Kelim, for utensils, then Liftor Boaz HaAdam. Then the Torah listed Bor separately to teach us that if a person dies, not if he gets damaged, but if a person dies in a Bor, one is not chayiv for a person who dies in a boar. One is not the bala boar, the owner of the boar is not chayiv for that. Adam lechayivo ba'arba dvarim. Adam was said separately to teach us that when a person damages another person, he's chayiv in those four extra things: tsar, boshes, ripoy, and sheves. Eish is listed separately as a separate av nezikin liftor bo es atoma, to teach us the unique halacha, the things that are hidden in, let's say, a haystack. Any item that's hidden and then gets destroyed by Eish, a person is putter from paying for any items hidden in something else that got destroyed with Eish. Like let's say there's a kli that is hidden in a haystack. That a person is putter if the Eish goes out and damages it and destroys it. Rav Yehuda de Mechayiv on this gate, Yitam and Be'Eish, and according to Rav Yehuda, who happens to hold that the Bala Eish, the one who started the Eish, is chayiv for any damages that he does to with the Eish, the things that are hidden. So then, lasuyemai. Then, what is Eish coming to include? What halachos is being included in the separate need for the listing of Eish as an av nezikin in the Torah? Lasuye lichacha neira v'sichsecha avanav. So what this means is that we're talking here about if a person goes ahead and does damage to plowed land, where he just like scorches the plowed land or blackens stones, so not being flammable items, it's very unusual for land or stones to be damaged by fire. But there is fire damage, right, to the plowed land, and that it will demand a second replowing, and stones, like we said, get blackened. So this is highly unusual damage, is only found by Eish. Thus, it had to be taught specifically by Eish. Ad Khan. So you see that the need for this, even though all these avos could be learned out with Bor and another one of the avos, it was necessary to list all of them to teach us the unique halachos by Karen, Shein Regel, Bor, Adam, and Eish. Ad Khan.